who's interested, we had a great crowd in Mark's class, which is focusing on defending the faith, and Mark did a fabulous job. And so if you are looking for a great opportunity to grow as a believer, go to Mark's class at 10 o'clock next week. And the reason I'm pointing that out is that we're going through the book of Jude, this neglected biblical book, this letter that's often overlooked by believers. But Jude here is contending for the faith. And Mark's class is focusing on the need for believers to defend and contend for the faith. And so this morning we're going to look at the second part of Jude's letter, and we're going to learn what he has to say here today, and we're going to seek to try to apply this portion of God's Word to our own lives so that we can live out the gospel in our world today. Before we read God's Word, though, let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we cannot come to your Word with our own human reason. We need your Holy Spirit's help. And we pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would illumine our minds so that we can understand. Lord, we pray that we would grow in our knowledge of you, Lord, and of your word so that we can speak your name, so that we can share your good news and contend for the faith in our world today. Lord, we ask that you would bless this reading of your holy word. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please listen to God's word. We have here Jude writing to believers who are being swayed by immoral teachers in the churches that they're in. Dear friends, verse 8, in the very same way, these dreamers, he's talking here about these false teachers, these dreamers, in other words, when we think of this word dreamers, he's talking about these delusional false teachers who are teaching immorality, pollute their own bodies, reject authority. In other words, they reject God's judgment and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." What he's saying here is that Michael understood how crafty and how shifty and how powerful Satan could be. But these false teachers have no understanding of that. They are not wise individuals. And then in verse 10, yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, and what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals. These are the very things that destroy them. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. He's comparing here these false teachers with these representatives from the Old Testament who stood out as representatives of rebellion to God. These men are blemishes at your love feast, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Jude here is pulling out the heavy artillery to shoot at these false teachers. And then he adds, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way, and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the God of our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. That is a lot right there. And as we look at this second part of Jude, we can look at this and be like, wow, this is maybe more than I can handle this morning, more than I can read this morning. But we see some very important things in this passage. And as we think of this passage this morning, I think there are some very applicable things to our life this morning. No doubt, Jude is a writer who is straightforward as he deals with these opponents of the faith. And he deals with them in a very tough way. He has no time for these individuals who have come into Christ's church and are teaching immorality, who are teaching apart from the way Jesus taught, in a way that is apart from Jesus' commands and Jesus' scriptural ethics. What we're dealing here in this passage with are teachers who are known as antinomians. This is kind of a big word, antinomian. Why is he talking about this? Antinomians are people who rebel against God, have no time for God, and boast about it. They know God's will, and they go the other way. They choose to go the other way. And that's what these teachers were doing in the life of the church. And that is why Jude here is writing in such a tough way, saying these people are scurrilous. These people are horrible. And he's concerned here, especially if we look at verse 12 of this passage, he's concerned that these false teachers and their immorality, he's concerned that it will infect the church and that other people will be swayed by them. In verse 15 of this passage, Jude highlights what? He goes through all these Old Testament references here into who these people are like. They're like Cain, they're like Balaam, they are like Korah, they are rebellious. But then what does he talk about in verse 15? He talks about the judgment of God. We tend in our society today, and we tend even in the life of the church, to focus on the love of God. And in many ways we should focus on that. But I want to say this morning that this portion of Scripture lifts up for us the judgment of God. And if we're truly going to understand God's love in its deepest depths, if we're going to understand the magnitude of God's love, we need to understand the judgment of God. Too often people in our society today who talk about the love of God, they don't deal or talk about the judgment of God. And what I would like to say this morning is if we just talk about the sunny part of God, or if we present God in a one-sided way, God is love, love is God, God is love, love is God. If we present God in that way, we're presenting a false substitute. We're presenting a God who is on the surface about love, but we don't really grasp the depth of his love, because the cross of Christ and the judgment of Christ are absent from their discussions of God. Does that make sense, or am I being maybe a little too wordy this morning? What I'm trying to get at is that too often when people talk about the love of God, a distorted view of God develops. And so what Jude helps us with this morning. And what Jude reminds us of is that our God is a God of judgment. And this is very important for us to understand and to grasp. Why is our God a judge? Why? Because of His holiness. God is indeed holy. And because of His holiness, He cannot stand what? He cannot stand our sin. He detests it. But because of the fact that He is holy, He has given a way, and because of He is our judge, He's given a way for us to be in relationship with Him. There is a way out, so to speak, as we think of the judgment of God, even on our own lives. Okay, we say, oh, look at this passage. We have these false teachers, and it's easy to understand God's judgment in the midst of their gross immorality, in the midst of their false teaching. We can say, we're not like that. But as we think of God's judgment here in verse 15, we need to be thinking about our own names, right? And it's here where the love of God is truly shown, because of the cross of Christ. God, when we think of God's judgment on our lives, we think of the fact that we have faith in Jesus Christ, and because we have faith in Him, we receive Christ's righteousness. So when God judges us, He looks not at our own sins, not at our own fallenness, not at our own shortcomings, but He looks at the righteousness of Christ. He looks at the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the good news. When we're judged, He looks at Jesus' spilled blood. And we are saved because of this. And this is the greatest way that God has shown His love to us, is through the cross. So you just heard that passage I read in the children's sermon from 1 John, showing that us that God's love is most supremely displayed to us on the cross. As we think of our own sin this morning, we need to remember, because of the cross of Christ, we have been set free. We no longer have to be controlled by our sins. We've been set free by Jesus. Yes, we still sin, but we're not controlled by it, because we have indeed been forgiven. And when we sin, we need to go to Christ and ask for His forgiveness. This is indeed the good news. Those, I want to say this morning, who only want to talk about God's love really have no idea what they're talking about. If they just want to talk about God's love and not His judgment, they don't know what they're talking about. They're presenting a distorted view of God. They're not presenting the whole picture, right? And so what our job is as believers is to present the whole counsel of God. That's our responsibility. I want to say this morning that those individuals who present a one-sided view of God, they are like people who go out into a field, and if they find gold on the topsoil, they say, oh, I found my gold, and that's it. Right? They're just content with that gold they found on the top. But what I'm saying this morning is that we need to go deeper, right? If you find gold on the topsoil, if you watch some of these mining programs, what is it? Gold Rush, right? If you find a little gold on the topsoil, what's probably beneath that gold in the ground? Rich veins of gold, right? And that's the same this morning as we think about this issue of God's judgment, as we think about His love, right? Okay. We may have a surface understanding of God's love, but is that enough? No, we need to go deeper. And the deeper we go, we understand the biblical picture of God's judgment. But the deeper we go into that, we go to the cross. And then we learn that God's judgment, His wrath upon our sin, has been dealt with. And that's the good news, and that's why we're here, and that's why we rejoice, and that's why we give thanks to God for what He has done for us. Amen. Amen. This morning, I want to say we need to understand truly the enormity of God's love. Those in our society, even those within the church who present a distorted view of God's love, are people who are just scratching the surface. They really don't grasp the richness of God's word. Richard Niebuhr summed up this false view in a famous saying. He said, "They present a God without wrath, who brought people without sin into a world without judgment through the ministrations of a Christ without a cross." Do you see the point that he's making there? When this false form of God's love is presented, what happens is that a Christless form of Christianity then develops, and that's what is displayed. The cross is forgotten. It's downplayed. And we do not want to, as believers today, accept a substitute like that. We must not accept a substitute like that. We need to remember the words of John from 1 John. "This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." That's the picture, the whole picture that needs to be lifted up. We must not settle for less. As we think about this passage from Jude this morning, we definitely have here God's judgment lifted up for these believers in the first century. And he lifts up the darkness of these false teachers. But he also does something that is very helpful for the Christians that Jude is writing to. What does he present here in the last several verses? He presents to them a game plan of how they are to live in the midst of sin and darkness and false teachers and all these bad things. He gives a game plan for how they should live. He says in verse 20, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is what we as believers are supposed to do today. It's easy to curse the darkness and sin that exists in our own lives and exists in the world, right? It's easy to do that. We could just sit here and go through all sorts of horrible things that exist, right? But what does Jude say here? This is what we need to do. We need to build each other up in the faith. We need to be people of prayer. And we need to remember God's mercy. This is what we're called to do. You know, one of the interesting things as we look at history, and I'm someone who I've tried in my life to study history. In undergraduate, I was a history major. I did a master's in history. I studied history in seminary. I did a PhD in history. Believe me, we could go on and on. And it's very interesting. If we look at history, what do we see? We see tremendous progress, right? We have medical advancements. We have bridges that are more stable now. We have technological advancements. We have all these advancements. But what don't we have? We do not have moral progress if we look down through the centuries. If we look at the 20th century, what do we see? We see tremendous violence. We see great wars. We see tremendous sin. Look at the life of Stalin, someone who earlier on accepted God and then rebelled. He was a seminary student. Think of that, a seminary student, and then rebelled, turned his back on God, and became one of the greatest butchers of all time. It's easy to look at those people like Stalin and Hitler and to say, we're not like them. But the Bible is very clear. All of us, each one of us, has fallen short of God's holy standard. So this morning, as we think of that, we need to remember that God is merciful and that He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. And we must never forget the cross of Christ as we seek to share the good news. I want to say this morning, as we think of this passage, we may say, okay, this is difficult. We have all these Old Testament things here. This is difficult to understand. But I want to say that this passage, I think, is very relevant to our lives today. We must, as we seek to follow Christ, we need to contend for the faith, as Jude says. We must build each other up. And we must... Okay, I lost my place. I'm sorry here. We must remember that God has the power to sustain us. Our job as believers in Christ is to stay rooted in Him by faith and to build each other up, as Jude says here. May our lives be built on the solid foundation of His Word. May our faith be built on the solid foundation of the faith once delivered to the saints. Not the false teachers, but the faith once delivered to the saints. This morning as we leave here, let's realize the immensity of God's love for us. But let's also know that it was most supremely displayed to us on the cross. And let us rejoice in all that God has done for us. This morning we are going to be partaking of the elements at the Lord's Supper. Let us go to this table in a spirit of repentance and let us receive the forgiveness of Almighty God. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray this morning that You would help us to take into our minds and into our hearts Your word this morning. Help us to flee from sin and help us to know that You do indeed love us and that You loved us so much that You came to earth and spilled Your blood on our behalf. Lord, help us to understand the agony that You went through and help us to know that we are forgiven and that we have been set free from our sins and that we have true freedom and true liberty only in You. And Lord, help us to share that life-changing message with the world around us. Help us to be bold and help us to be fearless as we seek to share your love and Your truth with those around us. We pray all this in Jesus' name.